Chapter 2. The car stopped 30 feet upstream of him. It had a local plate and was a reasonable size, and American and dark in color. A Chevrolet, Reacher thought. Probably dark blue or gray or black. It was hard to tell in the vapor light. Dark metallics were always anonymous at night. There were 3 people in the car, 2 men in the front and a woman in the back. The 2 men were twisted around in their seats, like there was a big 3-way discussion going on. Like a democracy. Should we pick this guy up or not? Which suggested to Reacher that the 3 people didn't know each other very well. Such decisions among good friends were usually instinctive. These 3 were business colleagues, maybe. A team of equals thrown together for the duration, exaggeratedly respectful of each other's positions, especially the outnumbered woman's. Reacher saw the woman nod, and he lip-read her yes, and the men turned back and faced front again, and the car rolled forward. It stopped again with the front passenger's window alongside Reacher's hip. The glass came down. Reacher bent at the waist and felt warmth on his face. This car's heater was working just fine, that was for damn sure. The guy in the front passenger seat asked, "Where are you headed tonight, sir?" Reacher had been a cop in the Army for 13 years. And then for almost as long had lived on his wits. And he had survived both phases of his life by being appropriately cautious and by staying alert. All 5 senses, all the time. Deciding whether or not to take an offered ride depended mostly on smell. Could he smell beer, weed, bourbon? But right then, he could smell nothing at all. His nose had just been broken. His nasal passages were clogged with blood and swellings. Maybe his septum was permanently deviated. It felt entirely possible he would never smell anything ever again. Touch was not an option in that situation either, nor was taste. He would learn nothing by groping around like a blind man or by licking things, which left sight and sound. He heard neutral tones from the front passenger, no marked regional accent, an educated cadence, an air of authority and executive experience. On all 3 of them, he saw soft, uncalloused hands, unmuscled frames, neat hair, no tans. Indoor people, office folk. Not at the top of the tree, but a long way from the bottom. They each looked somewhere in their middle 40s, perhaps halfway through their lives, but more than halfway through their careers. Like lieutenant colonels, maybe, in Army terms. Solid achievers, but not superstars. Each of them had on black pants and a blue denim shirt. Like uniforms. The shirts looked cheap and new, still creased from the wrapper. A team-building exercise, Reacher figured. Some kind of corporate bullshit. To fly a bunch of middle-ranking executives out from their regional offices, get them together in the wilderness, give them shirts, set them tasks. Maybe all the hoo-ha was making them feel a little bit adventurous, which was why they were picking them up. And maybe there would be candid mutual critiquing afterwards. Which was why they had labored through the big 3-way democratic discussion. Teams needed teamwork, and teamwork needed consensus, and consensus needed to be unforced, and gender issues were always sensitive. In fact, Reacher was a little surprised the woman wasn't riding in front or driving, although driving might have been seen as a subservient role for the only woman in a trio, like fetching coffee. A minefield. "I'm heading east," Reacher said. "Into Iowa?" the front passenger asked. "Through Iowa," Reacher said, "all the way to Virginia." "Hop in," the guy said. "We'll get you some of the way there." The woman was sitting behind the front passenger, so Reacher tracked around the trunk and got in on the driver's side. He settled on the rear bench and closed the door. The woman nodded to him a little shyly. A little cautiously, maybe. Perhaps because of his busted nose. Maybe the sight upset her. The guy at the wheel checked his mirror and took off up the ramp.